I am so proud to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, to be a son of God, and to have the privilege of promoting the beautiful truth of God's Word. The Gospel of John chapter 1, 10 through 12 speaks of Jesus Christ and the marvelous power He gives to those who receive Him. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Students of God's Word know that concerning mankind, from Adam to Jesus, there are no sons of God in the Bible. Abraham is called the friend of God. Moses is called the servant of God. The children of Israel are just that, the children of Israel. But the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ the righteous, came to earth and shed His blood to break the grip of Satan's stranglehold on us, the sons of Adam, washing away our sins and making possible the very born-again experience. Imagine being born a second time, this time of the Spirit of God, this time as sons and daughters of God Himself, and I mean literally. Have you been born again? Will today be the day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will today be the day your sin and shame is washed away and Satan's bondage is broken? You can make the move of eternal consequence now, right now. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Imagine the power to become a child of Jehovah. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. God said, Genesis 5, 1 and 2, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him, male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Man said, we have exploded out of nothing and have evolved into what we are as a result of time, chance, and need. Doesn't that make sense? Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 807 that will once again establish the full inerrancy of God's Holy Bible. These features are archived here in text and streaming audio for your edification and as ammunition in the battle for the souls of men. Each Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Be sure to take advantage of three very useful tools on God Said, Man Said. One, you have questions? God has answers. Whatever your question, type a keyword into the search bar top right and watch the screen populate with related information from Adam and Eve to quantum physics. Two, use the tell a friend feature above to send a message to someone you love. It's so quick and easy. And number three, imagine you can download nearly 296 hours of God Said, Man Said features to your electronic device. Listen to one every day. Thank you for coming. May the God of all good fill your life with the excitement of faith and promise. God created man and his universe by Jesus Christ in six literal 24-hour days just over 6,000 years ago. According to Bishop Usher's chronology, published in 1658, under the title of The Annals of the World, God began His creation work on the first day of the week, Saturday evening, September 21, 4004 B.C. God's Word records this message in Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Such a statement doesn't sit well with carnal academia, but nevertheless, it is certifiably true. Thousands of years before today's science begins to understand the mystery of creation, those of childlike faith quickly recognize that God has already staked out His position. This doesn't happen in rare and obscure passages of the Bible, but rather the book is replete with these occurrences. They are so beautifully apparent to those with eyes to see. One grand example is God's declaration in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. God said, man said, has published numerous features on the human brain, a brain made in the likeness of God's. Could this be true? Could the ground between our ears truly be the most underdeveloped resource in the entire universe? Foundational excerpts from previous features follow, but the newest discovery will dwarf them all. Surely carnal wisdom inadvertently verifies the inaccuracy of God's word. Men see the magnificence of creation and then attribute it to evolution's time, chance, and need. Man, who was made in the image, likeness, and glory of God, is reduced to a slimy life form that crawls out of some unknown kind of primordial soup that was the result of an explosion of nothing. Surely the Scriptures defines this carnal psychosis in Romans chapter 1, 21 through 23 and verse 28. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This is an obvious and ultimate demonstration of the 180 principle. It's surely displayed here. Man, who was made in the very image and glory of God, has been reduced in the minds of the foolish to a creeping thing. From the God said, man said feature of the superhuman brain. It used to be said that man used about 10% of his brain capacity. But just recently, science revealed we use only a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of our brains, and that the human brain has infinite capabilities. It would almost sound braggadocious if it were not for the fact that we are designed in God's image and have between our ears God's brain power, God's computer power. Consider this information about your brain. There are at least 10 billion, perhaps as many as 100 billion neurons, nerve cells, in your brain, each of which is connected to between 5,000 and 50,000 other neurons. Add it all up and you get at least 10 to the 14th power or 100 trillion nerve cell connections in your head. Michael Denton, in his book Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, reports the following. Altogether, the total number of connections in the human brain approaches 10 to the 15th power, or 1,000 million million. Numbers in the order of 10 to the 15th are, of course, completely beyond comprehension. Imagine an area about half the size of the USA, 1 million square miles, covered in a forest of trees containing 10,000 trees per square mile. If each tree contained 100,000 leaves, the total number of leaves in the forest would be 10 to the 15th, equivalent to the number of connections in the human brain. End of quote. Information theorist John Newman once estimated that the memory stored in the human brain during an average lifetime would amount to approximately 10.8 times 10 to the 20th power, or 28 with 19 zeros after it, of information bits. The brain is a literal pharmaceutical manufacturing plant and administering medical team all in one. It creates from the materials at hand a magnificent array of drugs and medications and automatically administers them when needed. Imagine, your brain weighs only 3 pounds, yet a computer with the same number of bits would be 100 stories tall and cover the state of Texas. Do you need more proof that your brain is made in God's likeness? Consider this. To build a building 100 stories tall that would cover the state of Texas and then fill it with information bits would cost more than the aggregate wealth of the entire world. Your godlike brain has infinite capabilities and is beyond price. So much for the evolutionary gibberish that says we evolve because of need. We are all equipped with brain capabilities so vast and so far past our needs, it is unfathomable. End of quote. from the God said, man said feature, the superhuman brain too. The human brain single-handedly destroys the evolutionary premise that time, chance, and need creates life. Unfortunately for this evolutionary premise, the brain that exists between our ears has infinite capabilities of which we are only just beginning to become aware. Evolutionary paleoanthropologist Leslie Aiello of University College of London said in reference to the human brain, "You don't evolve large and expensive organs unless there's a reason," end of quote. She is right, of course, but fails to make the obvious God connection. We are all equipped with brain capabilities so vast and so past our needs that it's unfathomable. This godlike brain is by far the world's most underdeveloped resource. It is one of the last vestiges of our supernatural origin when man was immortal and dwelt in a place called paradise, end of quote. Concerning Grandfather Adam and his supernatural brain and the results of the fall from sinless immortality into the law of sin and death, God Said, Man Said reports the following. Adam was created a fully mature male and pre-programmed with marvelous capabilities. As a result of various problems, including detrimental mutations, today's sons of Adam have fallen several rungs down the IQ ladder. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said feature Dumb and Dumber and 6,000 Years. Now consider this headline from the May 2013 issue of Acts and Facts. It reads, "Is mankind getting dumber?" Several paragraphs written by science writer Brian Thomas follow. Do today's children have lower IQs than yesterday's? Yes, according to measurements of intellectual and emotional strength gathered from different countries and contexts. The results show the same basic decline and resist the notion that public or other forms of education are to blame. Could the cause instead lie within? Stanford University professor Gerald Crabtree thinks so. He published a pair of essays in the journal Trends in Genetics, citing new discoveries that show why the human intellect is surprisingly fragile. This biblical creation-friendly notion didn't sit well with the authors of a rebuttal paper who countered that the human intellect is robust. What lies at the heart of this disagreement? Bad science or bad assumptions? Crabtree identified two fundamental processes as the main culprits. First, human intelligence uses neurons, and these cells can only function properly if their genes stay in top shape. Second, these genes are susceptible to degradation. This loss of organization occurs continually as mutations slowly, irreversibly garble genes and the resulting errors pile up and are not corrected. Each generation accrues about 60 new mutations to the gene-coding DNA regions of the human genome. Crabtree applied this rate to calculate that every 20 to 50 generations, we should sustain a mutation in one copy of one of our many ID genes. As a result, in the past 3,000 years, about 120 generations, each of us should have accumulated at the very least 2.5 to 6 mutations in ID genes. Accordingly, the human intellect perhaps reached a peak 2,000 to 6,000 years ago. This appears to confirm three lessons that can be drawn from the Bible. First, Adam and Eve's brains were originally very good. Second, we had our best brains about 6,000 years ago. And third, humanity has suffered genetic degradation since then under the curse. End of quotes. God said he made us in his own likeness. Warner Gitt, in his book, The Wonder of Man, addresses the marvels of our godlike brain. Every neuron is connected to thousands of others by means of synapses. Greek synapses means connection. Even though each nerve cell is not in direct contact with every other one, it is indirectly linked with all others via intermediate connections. It follows that the number of possible pathways linking the nerve cells in every human brain is extremely large, 5 times 10 to the 21st power. That equals 5,000 million, million, million. It would require 40 printed pages simply to list the number of direct connections of a single neuron. In order to list all direct neuronal links, 40 pages times the number of neurons equals 4,000 times 10 to the 9th power pages would be required. Assuming that one book comprises 400 pages, the required number of books would be 4,000 times 10 to the 9th power divided by 400 equals 10 times 10 to the 9th. This result is breathtakingly large. Such a list would require a library containing 10,000 million books of 400 pages. The largest library in the world, namely the Library of Congress in Washington, contains only 20 million volumes. This means that we would require 500 such libraries just to list the direct connections in the human brain, just in one brain. With between 10 and 50,000 connections per nerve cell, the entire system forms an immeasurably complex branched network. If it were possible to describe it as a circuit diagram, then even if each neuron was represented by a single pinhead, such a circuit diagram would require an area of several square kilometers. Compare this to the complex engineering drawings, which are often produced according to the Adeno format, on only 1 square meter. Such a circuit diagram of the brain would be several hundred times more complex than the entire global telephone network. In reality, nobody really knows anything much about the internal connections of the brain. The total length of the nerve fibers in the greater brain, cerebrum, is about 310,000 miles, with some authors even estimating it to be as much as 620,000 miles. Our command center, the brain, would be useless if there were no links to the body. Outside of the brain, the total length of nerve fibers is 235,600 miles, which is equal to the distance from the moon to the earth. They form a branching network throughout the body, continually carrying information and commands to and fro between the brain and all our other parts. In places, the thickness of these fibers is only 1/1000th of a millimeter, but messages travel along them at the speed of about 89 miles per hour. This is equal to the speed of a hurricane-force wind. Processing speed. The incredibly dense neuronal network can process signals at a very high rate. The brain can do 10 to the 18th power. That's 1 million, million, million computations in just 1 second, which is 100 million times as fast as the fastest supercomputer at the time of this writing. The most fascinating aspect, however, is not the actual physical performance of the brain, but its ability to process these the unimaginably vast quantities of information in unique ways which we cannot yet fully comprehend. End of quotes. Now, I talked about dwarfing in the beginning. Well, here it comes. In the July-September 2016 Answers magazine, you'll find the following concerning your godlike brain. Salk Institute has discovered that synapses in the brain have 10 times more variation in size than previously thought. More variation translates to more information storage. Says Dr. Terry Sanowski, who heads the laboratory, our new measurements of the brain's memory capacity increase conservative estimates by a factor of 10 to at least a petabyte in the same ballpark as the World Wide Web. End of quote. Consider this. Your brain uses about 20 watts of power to function, which is the energy used to light the bulb in your refrigerator. How much energy do you think it takes to run the World Wide Web and all its billions of computers? If all this is true, then there should be some vestiges of our original miraculous creation when we were made in the very image and likeness of God. There is. It's right between our ears. The Word of God is true and righteous altogether, a place to build a life that will last forever. God said, Genesis 1:26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God said, Genesis 5:1 and 2, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Man said, we have exploded out of nothing and have evolved into what we are as a result of time, chance, and need. Doesn't that make sense? Now you have the record.